Living on Mars, calling black people coloured is deeply offensive. It has been since I can remember. And of course, the reality is if Greg Clark was the sort of manager at your local McDonald's, he should probably step down. But this is the chairman for the governing body, the Football Association in Britain. And of course, you heard in the words there of Greg Clark, as usual, when people make these comments, he offered some kind of excuse, which really isn't acceptable. What really beggars belief is that he actually said them in the first place. We're almost in 2021, and there's no excuse anymore for saying I didn't know or I come from a different time. These comments, this doesn't really serve as a justification. What does matter actually is the feelings of black people who want to be called black. It sounds a lot more equal than coloured. And of course, one more thing, the phrase coloured has a throwback really to the 50s and 60s and 70s in the UK, where it was used as a derogatory slur. And of course, it's also got a horrible throwback to Jim Crow, the segregation laws in the South in America, coloured fountains, coloured restaurants, etc., etc. So of course, Clark has stepped down, but I think that was entirely predictable.
All right. Football fans, people who have been following this story, definitely have had a lot to say about this online.
Absolutely. Let's go first to Christine Stewart, who says, so Greg Clark has gone. I'm not totally convinced that he understands the racism inherent in the language he used. Meanwhile, may I beg you to think twice before using derogatory terms associated with disabled people too. They are all unacceptable. And Angolan Geordie says, Greg Clark from FA chairman to dinosaur in 5 hours. That was the fastest extinction ever.
All right. Let's move on to your second story, and this last one also takes us to the U.S. The last time we talked about your second story, Richard, it said that the leader of the extremist group, Proud Boys, had said that the standby order had been rescinded. Tell us what happened since.
Well, it seems that the white supremacist Proud Boys are making good on their promise to no longer stand by and to roll out, and it's led to the fact that they are planning to march on the nation's capital in the U.S., Washington, at the weekend, raising a lot of fear, a lot of concerns. Obviously, we know what their intents are, and one wonders what measures the government, the security services, are taking, because it came to light on a Parler social media conversation that they were planning to do this. But of course, there are many questions really raised about the potential collaboration between elements of the state and white militia groups like this. And so I think if you're black in America, if you're in Washington right now, this is deeply worrying. Many people do characterize the Proud Boys as a terrorist organization with a terrorist intent, malicious, harmful aims that they have. And so I think this is an extremely worrying concern for the weekend. You know, one would hope there isn't going to be bloodshed on the streets, but this is a very malicious group intent on one thing only, and so I think all eyes are going to be on Washington at the weekend, of course.
You said something, Richard, about collusion between these militia groups and elements of the state. Who are we talking about exactly?
Well, I think if you go online, there are plenty of videos, arguably, of various police forces across the country actually giving the OK signal and other such signals when these white supremacist rallies happen, basically allowing them to do what they do. Of course, you've got the cases of Ahmed Arbery, where many people would argue that the perpetrators of his killing were only allowed to roam free for so long because of a potential collaboration with the district attorney's office. So there are many levels, people are saying, to this potential collaboration. And so if you're reliant on the police forces and the security services to protect you at the weekend, there are many, many questions raised right now, Saeed. So these are extremely dangerous times for black Americans.
Would you say we're looking at probably some kind of a face-off or a confrontation between these militia groups and others who are also armed come this weekend?
Well, I think certainly the Proud Boys are intent on causing harm. I don't really think, in my opinion, there are other groups really that you can make an equivalence with them. Of course, Trump tried to do that. He tried to make an equivalence between the far right and elements of the left. Whatever you think about the organized left, quote unquote, in America, it's certainly not comparable to white supremacist terrorist groups that are very open, actually, about their malicious intent, Saeed.
All right. Bring us the online reaction to it.
Let's go to Gail first of all, who says, I may just be paranoid, but Trump appears to be building a compound. He has created a militia. He can call to man that the Proud Boys, Stand Back and Stand By, are planning a million of them to march through Washington on Saturday night, Trump's last days. And the aptly named Antifa for Life says, so it's really happening. Real Donald Trump supporters from white supremacists and Proud Boys are coming to Washington. I wonder if the FBI and police are going to do anything about it. And actually, that's one of the big questions on everybody's lips. What exactly are the government going to do about this very, very serious threat?
All right. Trump has left his golf course, Richard, and it's at the Arlington Cemetery on Remembrance Day as we speak. Thank you very much, Richard Sedan, with those stories. And thank you, everybody. Goodbye from me and the team here in London.
Limelight. Experiences during the winter months affect how colorful birds become, which affects how successful they are at finding mates and breeding in North America. Scientists call these carryover effects. Jared Wolf, assistant professor in Michigan Technological University's College of Forest Resources and Environmental Science, and one of the founders of the Biodiversity Initiative, said, it's so elegant, but we're just now starting to understand it. Growing vibrant feathers is a physically taxing activity, and the easier a bird has it during the winter, the more brightly colored their plumage during the summer. This makes quality and availability of food, places to shelter, and safety from predators important components of a wintering habitat. Like humans seeking out coveted locations to live, birds flock to the best habitats. In both cases, resources are finite. What might have been an ideal wintering ground one year might be depleted of food sources or other important attributes the next. Dear listeners, here we present you an interesting article in this regard, written by Kelly Christensen from Michigan Technological University, entitled Migration and Molt Affect How Birds Change Their Colors. This article has appeared on the front page of the phys.org. Please stay tuned to hear more about this issue. In late summer and autumn, millions of birds fly above our heads, often at night, winging their way toward their wintering grounds. Before the journey, many birds molt their bright feathers, replacing them with a more subdued palette. Watching this molt led scientists to wonder how feather color changes related to the migrations many birds undertake twice each year. Molt matters not only because replacing worn feathers is necessarily for flight, but because molt is the catalyst for plumage changes that affect whether birds find mates and reproduce. Jared Wolf, assistant professor in Michigan Technological University's College of Forest Resources and Environmental Science, and one of the founders of the Biodiversity Initiative, said, we are really blessed here as nature lovers and bird watchers that we have lots of species of warblers here, which come in blues, greens, reds, and yellows. Wolf said, these brightly colored birds migrate and nest here in Michigan and then leave for winter. Everyone is so focused on the coloration, but the mechanism of the change of coloration is the process of molt, of replacing feathers. While migration distances vary, many species fly thousands of miles each year, chasing summer as the planet tilts toward and away from winter. These lengthy journeys tend to wear out feathers. In research published in Journal Ecology and Evolution, Wolf and co-authors analyzed the variation in distances traveled against the extent of molt in a particular species. Wolf said birds that go farther distances replace more feathers. He said, "Sun is the primary reason feathers degrade, and harsh environments," adding, "In northerly latitudes in the summer, it's sunny all the day. As the birds move south, tracking the sun, they're maximally exposing themselves to sun all the year. Feathers must be replaced because of wear and tear. What's the significance of brightly colored plumage? Wouldn't black be more protective against sunburn, or white better at deflecting heat? For birds, like many animals, an attention-getting physical appearance plays a crucial role in attracting a mate. As stylish haircuts and makeup are to human, beautiful feathers are to the birds. But a spectacular plumage is also pragmatic. It broadcasts age and health, which determine who gets to mate and who doesn't." Wolf said, "Bright plumages are signals of habitat quality in the tropics," adding, "Acquiring mates is based on a signal of habitat quality from wintering grounds. Undergoing a second molt on the wintering grounds before migrating north allows the birds to become colorful. Color is a signal to potential mates in places like the U.S. Midwest, what jungle wintering habitats are like." Experiences during the winter months affect how colorful birds become, which affects how successful they are at finding mates and breeding in North America. Scientists call these carryover effects, Wolf said. "It's so elegant, but we're just now starting to understand it. Growing vibrant feathers is a physically taxing activity, and the easier the bird has it during the winter, the more brightly colored their plumage during the summer. This makes quality and availability of food, places to shelter, and safety from predators important components of a wintering habitat. Like humans seeking out coveted locations to live, birds flock to the best habitats. In both cases, resources are finite. What might have been an ideal wintering ground one year might be depleted of food sources or other important attributes the next," he said. "The best habitats offer resource stability over time versus poorer quality habitats, which are variable month to month, year to year." But what about birds that don't migrate, preferring to spend their lives without a single home range? For them, it turns out molt is comparable to changing one's clothes on a regular basis rather than changing appearances to impress someone. Molting and breeding are constricted by multiple factors. Seasons, food abundance, and size of home range play major roles in plumage and feather replacement. Wolf said, "Birds here in the temperate zones are restricted in when they can breed and undergo their annual molt by winter," adding, "In the tropics, there are wet and dry seasons, but there is less constraint from a real absence of food sources. Molt is an expensive process calorically, but birds need lots and lots of food while they're molting." Wolf and his collaborators found that adjusting the time it takes Amazonian birds to complete their annual molt affects how they go about making a living. For example, ant falling birds in Brazil eat insects that are trying to overturn army ants. One tiny species, the white plumed antbird opportunistically darts ahead of the ants. Not your garden variety ant, but a species that can overpower and eat lizards, birds, and small mammals, in addition to insects, to take advantage of a movable feast. Noting that the bird essentially lives in a constant state of molt, dropping one feather at a time, Wolf said, "Its molt is crazy slow. It takes an entire year." Obligate antbirds have huge home ranges that overlap with multiple army ant colonies, which means they spend a large part of their day flying around the jungle in search of army ants. The bird's lengthy daily commute is a problem when they molt wing feathers, which creates gaps in their wings and compromises their ability to fly. How do they get around this problem? A very slow molt, Wolf said. A single feather at a time to minimize gaps, thereby improving their ability to fly and maintain large home ranges, adding, "This unique adaptation has made the white-plumed antbird the lowest molting songbird on Earth." Despite the predilection of migrant birds to return to the same breeding territory year after year, Wolf and collaborators note that not all birds return to the same molting grounds. This finding confounds the assumption of home field advantage, where birds benefit from completing their annual molt in a familiar location. But it appears there isn't much of a relationship between molting activity and what Wolf calls site fidelity. Wolf said, "Until our research, it had remained a mystery whether or not migratory songbirds return to the same site to molt," adding, "This is an important question because there is growing evidence that mortalities accrued after the breeding season, during molt, migration, and overwintering periods, is responsible for the continued loss of migratory songbirds. In fact, bird abundance has decreased by 29% since 1970. Understanding where and why birds molt is an important step towards protecting vulnerable populations of songbirds. Wolf and colleagues used 31 years of bird banding data from Northern California and Southern Oregon to measure the site fidelity of 16 species of songbirds during molt. While the researchers did find that breeding activity strongly correlated with site fidelity, molt did not appear to influence a bird's decision to return to a particular place or not. It appears that birds, like humans, tend to splurge on fine feathers and then go home to show them off.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
جهان ما ضبط صوت بزرگی است که صدای ما را هر کلمه‌ای که از ما صادر شود.
The world we live in is a large recording apparatus which records our voice. Every word of it.
One of the most outstanding features about him is that he cared for the humanity, and he mentioned this all the time and said لأجل الإنسان, because of the humanity.
Well, within the social activities we can count one of his greatest things that he started when he went back to Lebanon, and that was the dialogues between the different religions and تقريب المذاهب. And that's how we see, like, he was very close to the youth as well, because he used to visit the church as well and the different
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm Atta, the host of this program. The teacher is an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, scholars, and philosophers all across the nation of Islam. And with me in the studio are two guest speakers, two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, to elaborate on the thoughts and works of Imam Musa Saad, one of such scholars. Dr. Murtaza Zazadeh, assalamu alaikum brother, and welcome to this show.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, assalamu alaikum brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. So in this new series of the program, The Teacher, we are mainly concerned with the thoughts and most outstanding elaborations and opinions of outstanding Muslim thinkers. After Shahid Murtaza Mutahari, we are discussing the thoughts and works of one of the other outstanding Muslim Shia scholars, that is Sayyid Musa al-Saad, mainly known as Imam Musa al-Saad, a Lebanese-Iranian cleric and philosopher, who was very much famous for his open-mindedness. He was disappeared in Libya in 1978. If he is alive, may Allah give him health, and he passed away, may he rest in peace. It is still not clear, even in the news, that from 1978, where this great outstanding scholar is living. Sayyid Musa al-Saad was famous for giving outstanding lectures, and most of his audience were the average youth of Lebanon and Iran. He was famous for giving lectures in both the Arabic language and the Persian language. So for today's discussion, we want to listen to one of his Farsi audio file along with the English translation, and then we'll get to the elaboration by the scholars over here. Let's listen to that and we'll be back.
فکر میکنم اگر تمام عمر ممکن بود کسی
I think if it was possible that one would spend whole his life on making more and more efforts and taking steps towards righteousness, then it was definitely a true and wise decision. However, no doubt that human reaches exhaustion at a moment and further needs joy, but the joy is to be a spice of the food, not to make it inedible. And not that much to turn the purpose of life into amusement. And eventually, lessons of life turn only into a frame and mask on the surface of life.
All right, welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher you're listening to, and what you listen to right now was the Farsi audio file of Imam Musa Saad along with the English translation. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, let's start with you for this episode and the matter of this world and the other world, the clarification, differentiation that is given by Imam Musa Saad. And it seems that Imam Musa Saad is very much emphasizing for the Muslims to keep balance between the two. Unfortunately, we have the thought among the Muslim nations that if you want to get closer to perfection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only done through the divine paths and divine ways and not through the people. So they choose an isolated life, they live in solitude, okay? So, and they believe, and spiritually speaking, they reach some developments, you know? But what Imam Musa al-Saad believed in and what he himself practiced in the life was always being among the people and keeping the balance between these two. What's your point on that, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Obviously, we know that, and we've been discussing this thing in previous programs, even in the program of the teacher, Shaheed Mutahiri, Murtada Mutahiri, we had the same discussions.
Yes.
Obviously, all these scholars like Shaheed Mutahiri and Imam Musa Sadr, they all have studied the Hawza, obviously.
Yes.
And they had a very depth view on the Quranic teachings.
Yes.
And obviously, they have spent their life in this path, we can say. It is very important to have balance between two things. And we've been discussing this for many programs, that this world is a mean to reach to hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
This world is not the destination for us. If it was this destination, then obviously we would have spent our whole life in this world. The way some people, like the liberal people, they say, like, you have only one life and you need to enjoy this life. And why? Because they don't believe in hereafter. They don't believe in God. We being a Muslim...
Is it possible, sorry, to believe in God and say, enjoy this life?
Well, it depends. What do they mean with the enjoyment?
Okay.
Again, we need to elaborate this meaning.
Okay.
This enjoyment means to benefit from all the blessings that are in this world,
mm-hmm,
for you,
okay,
in order to reach to the perfection, or leave everything, like believe just in God and be a non-practicing. For example, we have this term as well in the West.
Yeah,
practicing and non-practicing Muslim, which is
this
wrong.
This is a problem among all the monotheistic religions. This was exactly my point. The practicing one and non-practicing one, if they want to introduce themselves, even when the forms are given to them to fill out, they say, are you practicing, for example, Muslim or non-practicing? But what does it mean exactly?
Well, this is what the secular system have given us, the Western system.
Okay.
Because in Islam, in the Quran, we see there are clear sayings about the fasiqeen,
mm-hmm,
and transgressors.
Okay.
There is a clear statement about these transgressors. Who are they? What will be their endings? And there is a mu'min, there is a kafir. Obviously, there are different categories of people.
Yes.
In the Quran, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people,
mm-hmm,
O mankind. Sometimes He's talking to mu'mineen. And on the other side, like, Allah is differentiating between the believers, the true believers, transgressors, and the hypocrites.
That's right.
So these are the categories.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Musa Sadr, what is he referring to? And he referred to the verse number, like it was Surah Nahl, verse number 97. And this word, which has been used, like this verse is starting with Man amila salihan. This word, one, Man amila salihan, these three words all together, like with this combination of Man amila salihan, it has come five times in the Quran.
That's right.
And in all of that, it has the same result. It shows the same result. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to say, whoever performs the good deed, obviously for him there is a reward.
That's right.
Balancing the life, it's the order of intellect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a religious point of view. It's logical as well.
That's right.
In your life, if you're not living a balanced life with the things that you have in your hands, you should use them in a balanced way.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an excessive usage of something,
yes,
that harms you. Therefore, there's a need to have a balanced life. And because we know, being a Muslim, that we were created,
that's
and
right,
we need to reach to the perfection, and that is the goal, yes, of a mankind, and that has been said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
We need to use this world in a way, all these blessings, using them in a balanced way so that we can reach to the perfection. If we cannot reach to the perfection, then obviously we are living a life as a non-believer.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much. Dr. Reza Zadeh, Imam Musa Sad also talks about the qasd-e salih. It means the, I think roughly translated, it could be the righteous goal that one should follow in life. What's your take on that, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As I mentioned in the past episode, Imam Musa Sad is explaining that according to the proper Islamic understanding of according to a correct worldview of the reality of life here, there is no separation or distinction between happiness and having a good life in this world and in the other world. And here he's saying a key statement, and he emphasizes that on a point that a perfect plan for life is a plan that guarantees a good life not only in the other world but also in this world.
That's right.
A plan that guarantees a good life only in the other world is not a good plan. And also a plan that...
Is it possible to have a plan that guarantees your other world and not considering this world?
You know, some of these mystical approaches in some of the religions, for example, in Christianity, monasticism is a type of a spiritual model that is emphasizing on such type of spirituality. They claim that, okay, in order for us to achieve salvation, we need to compromise a lot of our joys and a lot of the facilities and a lot of the, or let's say most of the worldly endowments or gifts that we need to really ignore them and focus on having a good life on the other world only. But here, very interestingly and very importantly, Imam Musa Saad wants to say that the very beautiful point about the Islamic plan for life or the spiritual plan of Islam is that it wants to say that these two things, the other world and the and this world, are so intertwined that if you want to have a good life in the other world, you really need to work on this world too in a proper way. It does not mean that you need to make this world your ultimate goal. And one of the practical things, one of the very beautiful practical advices that he is explaining based on a hadith from the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when he is giving advices to Abu Zar, saying that, لَيَكُنْ لَكَ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ نِيَّا حَتَّى النَّوْمِ وَالْأَكْلِ. O Abu Zar, the Prophet of God was saying to Abu Zar, O Abu Zar, there must be an intention in every single action that you do, even your sleeping and even your eating, you know? Sleeping and eating are two examples of...
ordinary ritual. Yeah,
one of the, two of the most ordinary things that we every single person does. It's a natural need of every person. And very beautifully, the Prophet wants to say that even these very routine, ordinary, natural things that every person needs because of the, our physical body, they can be turned into an act of worship by a simple intention. And this shows, I mean, let alone the others. This shows how this world and the other world are so intertwined to each other that even the most simple, ordinary actions, just by a simple intention, can turn into
And this is not difficult to do. I mean, maybe some people think that, you know, trading on the path of Allah, having pure niyyah, is very much difficult.
It needs practice. It needs practice. It needs mindfulness for us to become used to it and having all the time paying attention to our ultimate goal. And this is the art of Islam. I call it the spiritual model of Islam. And beautifully, following that model, what happens? You know, based on this model, the whole world will be your place of worship. You know, many of us, when we want to worship, we think about mosque. Or a temple, or a synagogue, or whatever. But here, using this very practical advice, the whole world will be your place of worship. You don't need to necessarily go to a mosque. Yeah, if you can go there and, you know, focus, that is better. But here, based on this model, you are going to become a worshiper in every single moment of your life.
You take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment of
while
your life.
While you're eating, while you are sleeping, while you are doing your everyday job, you're worshiping God. So the whole world will be your temple, will be your mosque. And that's beautiful. And one's worship will not be limited to the mosque or church or temple, etc., etc. And every single moment of the life will be passed in worshiping God. Isn't it beautiful? I think it's awesome. So this is an amazing model of a spirituality.
Of course, these things are beside the obligations that are put on our shoulders. But seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeing His traces and signs in any moment of our life makes it very much beautiful, you know. Yeah, you leave this world, not for this world, but in order to get to a higher goal.
And actually making the whole life like, you know, a person who is praying day and night while he's not apparently praying or, you know, doing prostration or being in the mosque. But still, in reality, that person is praying.
Very good.
And you know, the result
this
of
is
that
the nature.
Be,
this is what the tabia does, brother.
Yeah.
Every day, you know, this is what the tabia does, you know, around us.
In Islamic mysticism, that every single creature, not only the human beings, every single creature in every single moment is actually
is worshipping Allah,
is glorifying God and worshipping God and doing tasbih of God. And a person who lives that way, according to this formula, will be much more successful person in both worlds for two reasons.
Yes.
First, he has not put any conflict between this world and the other world. He has not made any distinction.
Okay.
And secondly, all his deeds and times have been spent to make both of his life a better lives. And every single moment have been spent in a good way.
That's
so
right.
That person will be more successful in both worlds.
Thank you very much, Dr. Reza Zadeh and Said Mohsen Naqvi, for your nice elaboration regarding this topic, how to keep balance between your life, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any moment of our life, and having niya or intention, according to the hadith that you mentioned by Prophet Muhammad to Abu Zar, that was really beautiful. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any moment of your life is very important. It is very much difficult because nowadays, especially in today's world, we are really busy with different things, and sometimes our gods are different nowadays. And unfortunately, the Muslim lands are afflicted with these problems too, and are affected by these too. But inshallah, as a practicing Muslim, what Said Mohsen Naqvi said, we try to do our best to make this world as a bridge, as a nice bridge to pass of perfection to the other world, inshallah. It was very kind of you, Dr. Reza Zadeh and Said Mohsen Naqvi. And dear listeners of Arab English Radio, thank you much again for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Visit our website, parstoday.com/enkalavislam page, and also our YouTube page, Kalav Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
And here is another thought-provoking saying for Imam Ali, peace be upon him, from his cousin and father-in-law, from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O Ali, three characters are high moral standards: regard for the one who ruptured relations with you, granting the one who deprived you, and pardoning the one who wronged you.
Arabi English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to Arabi English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Arabi English Radio.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil إسلامي دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, peace and salutation of Allah be upon all of you. Salam, this is today's special, and we're going to speak about entertainment in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس, أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هالينا.
Today, Thursday, is the 26th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Book of Allah, Holy Quran, Surah Muhammad, verse 10.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم, دمر الله عليهم وللكافرين أمثالها.
Have they not traveled through the land and seen how was the end of those before them? Allah destroyed everything over them, and for the disbelievers is something comparable.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Addressing the negligent astray in ignorance, the blessed verse asks, why do they not travel on the earth to see the traces of the people of the past and see that they were destroyed by us, owning to their denial of the Prophet and harassing them? They should know that their destruction was due to their disbelief and disobedience. We destroyed the peoples of the past, and such fate awaits these disbelievers. Continuation of the topic of today's special for this week, entertainment in Islam. As soon as we see this word in the various forms that it consists of today, it gives us a sense of happiness, a sense of belonging. Entertainment is a form of activity that holds the attention and interest of an audience or gives pleasure and delight. It has captured the hearts of every single human being on the planet, but one may ask, how beneficial is it to the human race? Entertainment comes in many forms, such as gossip about celebrities, movies, novels, singing, partying, sports, and travel. Like many other things in life, it consists of positive aspects and also has some harm in it. The wise person
is the one who navigates through the bad to earn the good whenever and wherever one finds it. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with recreation and enjoying oneself in everyday life as depicted in Islam. Elsewhere, the 8th infallible Imam, Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam, instructed his companions to meet up with each other and to keep the friendly relations, to continue and maintain the friends' relations, because it helps them relieving themselves out of the burdens of toils and troubles. Elsewhere, the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam indicated that people are expected to manifest the happiness at the moment of meeting each other, because this type of manifesting one's happiness at the time of meeting one's close friend or relation or any acquaintance helps establishing cordial relations. In the Quranic instructions, there are hints and indications that people are expected to go on trips, to visit other places, other nations, not only for the sake of receiving some recreation, but for the sake of receiving lessons from the faiths, from the faith and history and experiences of other nations and other people. In relation to recreation, we have to know that the type of recreation a person receives leaves its impression and impact on the person's psychological development and personality. Because of this, parents are expected to give the right kind of recreation to the children, because those kinds of recreations and happiness and enjoyment play a good role on the mind and psychological development and personality of people, and especially on children, because the children are expected to receive the best type of education in order to be able to build up the best community in the future.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever.
A good entertainment according to Islam. That's a very important topic. Muslims must be aware of any kind of entertainment around them, since sometimes it could not be separated from haram matter, such as if we like watch a football match and without us realizing we are getting involved in bet, which is forbidden in Islamic law. Therefore, entertainment in Islam should have a limitation. A thing that forbidden in Islam must be abandoned by Muslims. Our time should not be consumed too much by entertainment. There must be a time limit of when we consume it in a day, since Allah the Almighty hates His people if they waste their time. Entertainment must exclude the haram elements in their content. The purpose of entertainment should be far good, and it would be better if contains praise for Allah the Almighty. Entertainment made to give relaxation and fun for us in our free time, then it should not consume our wealth or sources.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us as everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
As previous episodes of today's special, we'll look at forms of halal entertainment. For today, we suggest you playing with kids. Children are a joy and coolness of eyes. On this point, we usually hate people who hate kids and treat them badly. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny would play with kids even in the masjid, in the mosque. Sometimes when he was in sajda, he would be very long because his grandchildren were riding on his back. That's the sunnah, not banning the kids from the masjid and growling at them whenever you see them. Playing with children is part of the methods of having fun. Once the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny kissed his grandchildren in public, a man commented that he had 10 kids and never kissed any of them. The Prophet replied, "What can I do if Allah has removed mercy from your heart? Whoever does not show mercy will not be shown mercy." Think about that next time you mistreat a child.
So this is an important point of discussion. Before you even ask what's halal, ask yourself, is this beneficial? Is this the best way for me to prepare for my life for the hereafter? If I can go to the movies and see a 3-hour movie, okay, you can say I need that, I'm stressed, it's the end of the week. Fine, you need a distraction and you deserve a good distraction. That's okay. But are there better alternatives? To enjoy yourself in a way that's also productive, in a way that's also educational? See a documentary, for instance. Read something that's interesting, interesting facts, interesting information, something that's useful. There are many people who enjoy reading. This is the question that you should ask yourself. We need to know where to draw the line between that which is halal and that which is haram. We know that in order to be functional, in order for us to manage stress in our lives, definitely need some form of entertainment in our lives. It's perfectly healthy for you to relax, to relieve yourself from stress. You'd be surprised how many hadiths we have from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, that encourage us to meet the brothers, meet your brothers in society. Sisters, meet other sisters in society. In fact, that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in the book of Kafi, he says at least once a week on Friday, which is the Islamic weekend, at least on Fridays, meet one another. Have a discussion with one another. We human beings, we need that social interaction, especially in our time of technology where people are addicted to their screens and their gadgets. You need that human interaction. That's very healthy. Get together once a week, twice a week, 3 times a week.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah. Thank you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.